All right. Well, I'm with Bears beat writer Jeff Dickerson for ESPN 1000 and ABC 7 in Chicago. Is that correct?
You got it.
And so you do a nightly show for ESPN 1000?
We do. We are fanning the flames of Bears Packers. This is like 3 hours last night. Usually we do a general show, but last night, obviously, all Bears Packers, that's pretty much all we're talking the entire week. It's pretty crazy.
Yes, I agree. It has been a pretty crazy week for me, too, at my site. So now, one of the big topics this week has been how bad do you think the footing is at Soldier Field? Have you had a chance to get down there and look at it or anything like that?
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, absolutely. It's bad every single week. Even in the summer, when you would think that it would be like a beautiful playing surface, it's poor because it's owned by the Park District and they have other events on the field besides Bears football. It's not like Lambeau where they rope off the field, you know, before a game and no one can step foot on it unless you're a player or a coach. You know, they have high school football triple headers on the field, and they'll play a Bears game like 2 days later. You know, they'll have Bono from U2 dancing on a stage in Soldier Field and, you know, rip it all up and everything. Like, they try their best to protect it, but it just doesn't really work. It's just it's a rough playing surface. It's been a problem for many, many years. You know, the Bears should know how to combat that. They didn't have a whole lot of footing issues, I don't believe, against Seattle on Sunday. The Seahawks on defense, though, were a little tentative. They were sliding around. So, yeah, the field is soft. It's not good footing. But I think that, you know, the Packers have played here so many times, and Mike McCarthy,
yeah,
these guys know what's in store for them. So my guess is their equipment people will have them equipped with the proper cleats and the proper equipment. And I don't think the playing surface is going to be really a huge deal. I know the NFL is investigating, but what are they going to do? They can't move the venue. If they let these guys play, Brandon, here's the thing. I travel with the team, and I was at that game Monday night at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis against the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They were chipping away chunks of ice off the field as I was standing down there for pregame. And, you know, Brett Favre hit his head and got concussed. So if they thought that playing surface was safe enough for those teams to play, there's no way they're going to say anything about the Soldier Field playing surface. That would be the ultimate act of hypocrisy, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only legitimate talk I read was a similar situation in the 90s when they replaced the sod at Lambeau in between playoff games. But
well, you know, the thing with that is, yeah, you're right, but if they replace the sod this late in the game, that sod has to have time to settle and grow in together. So you don't want to see guys having chunks of sod flying up in the air and you know, guys blowing out their knees. Brandon? It's brown grass spray painted green. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, let's face it, that's what they got in Soldier Field. And, you know, there haven't been really a lot of injuries because of the playing surface. Now, a couple of Seahawks got hurt, but that was because of concussions, because they got either, you know, slammed their head against the ground or got, I think Mark Trufant got either kneed or kicked in the head by Kellen Davis, who was trying to make a tackle. So the playing surface itself hasn't caused any major injuries this year, and my guess is that that'll be the case this Sunday. That won't be a reason why anyone suffers a serious injury.
So, well, what do you think of Greg Olsen against the Packers? When the last time they played, the Bears threw the ball to him like about six times, and his long reception was only for 7 yards. And then where does deep threat come from against the Seahawks?
Well, I think the deep throw was pretty obvious. I mean, when Lauren Molloy is matched up on one-on-one coverage, that's a pretty big indicator that you're gonna test him down the field, because Lauren Molloy is many things, but a fast safety, he is not. So that was just a mismatch thing that the Bears saw and they took advantage of. I mean, Olsen is a good player. I mean, he's got a lot of size. He's got speed. He's got decent hands. He's had some productive years in the NFL. But, you know, in this offense, he kind of was, I don't want to say like the third or fourth option, but there would be stretches where he'd catch one pass a game for 4 weeks straight, or twice this year he didn't catch a single pass. Against Green Bay, they used him, though. If you actually look at the numbers, like you said, he's caught 10 combined balls in those two games against Green Bay this year, so certainly he was the guy. But I think Olsen was a factor in those games, especially the one at Lambeau, because Cutler had to get rid of the ball so quick because the pass protection was so bad, and the receivers have a tough time getting open against Woodson and Tremont Williams. So Olsen is a natural safety valve that Cutler looks to use. So I wouldn't be surprised if I think Olsen's going to get some action again this weekend. And I think a perfect guy to kind of, you know, counteract the pressure that the Packers, I'm sure, will throw at Cutler is going to be Matt Forte out of the backfield. He caught, I think, 8 passes. I have to look that up. I believe he caught 8 passes week 17. And that's the part of his game that's very underreported. He's a great receiver. He led the Bears in receptions his rookie year in 2008. So Olsen, Forte, I think those guys were a big part of the game plan because we just don't know, you know, can Knox, can Hester, can these guys get open against the physical Packers corners?
Yeah, I know Knox had a lot of trouble to their last game there in Lambeau getting open.
Yeah.
I don't think he caught a pass, I don't believe.
He was targeted 8 times and had 0 receptions. It was a bad game for Johnny Knox. And that's not really his strength isn't his ability to get separation with the physical corner. It's his speed. So if Cutler gets time to throw and if they pick up the blitz and they don't whiff on Charles Woodson coming off the edge, you know, then Knox and Hester, if they run around long enough, well, they're going to get open and then they can make some plays down the field. But, you know, if you try to press those two guys more times than not, you're going to be successful as a defense. But when you press them, you leave yourself vulnerable if the pass rush doesn't get to the quarterback. So, you know, it's all just a big trickle-down effect like football is. But, yeah, Knox had a really bad game and, you know, played okay against Seattle. And, you know, hopefully for him, he'll step up because they're a much better offense, believe me, when the vertical threat with Johnny Knox exists down the field.
Something, go back to something you were talking about just a second ago. When I was watching the Seattle game, I was thinking the offensive line was doing a good job protecting Jay Cutler, but he was still sacked 3 times in the first half. What was your opinion of how they played against Seattle?
Well, I think they played better, and I mean, this is never going to be like a dominant offensive line. That's just it's impossible. They don't have the personnel. Yeah, they're never going to be great, but I think they've been serviceable. More times than not this year. I think the big key for the Bears has been they've simplified everything. They simplified the pass protection schemes. So they really, the communication level up front has gotten better. These guys have all played together. All 5 offensive linemen have been in play since the game after the Bears' bye when they played the Bills in Toronto in early November. So that certainly helped. They were shuttling guys in and out before that in those first 7 games. And you saw what happened to Cutler against the Giants, and you saw what happened to Cutler against Seattle October 17th in week 6. He was getting destroyed. So the offensive line, they know who they're supposed to block. But like I said before, there's a difference between knowing who you're supposed to block. Like, hey, I got Clay Matthews onto this play. Hey, I know that Eric Walden, I got him one-on-one. There's a difference between knowing that and there's a difference between actually making the blocks and keeping your quarterback upright. And that's what the Bears didn't do at Lambeau. They set a breakdown straight up. They missed their one-on-one matchup. So I think Mike Tice is a very good offensive line coach. He's going to have these guys prepared to play Sunday. Whether or not they execute, you know, we just don't know. I mean, that's the beauty of the NFL. We don't know if they're going to be able to execute or make those plays. But, yes, I would say the offensive line play has certainly improved. They're not the team that allowed 9 sacks and let guys just come completely untouched off the edge. That was killing Cutler earlier this year. So I would never say that they're a strength of this team, but for the most part recently, I wouldn't say they're a weakness either.
One thing that really jumped out when I was looking at the stat sheet from the Seahawks game was that Tommy Harris had 2 quarterback sacks. I know he's been playing better late in the season, but were the Seahawks just that bad, or did he – or did something happen over the bye week or something? Or
what's going on with him? You know the beauty of the old Tommy Harris? I mean, like, 05 Tommy Harris and 06 before he suffered the injuries. The key with him was I've never seen a defensive tackle do a better job of anticipating the snap count. You would see Tommy Harris in the backfield literally a tenth of a second after the ball was snapped. And with his speed and his ability, he was impossible to block. I actually saw him getting off the football quick against the Seahawks. And sure, I think the Seahawks really weren't that good, and I think you can certainly chalk that up to, you know, inferior competition, but it was just great to see him have some burst and be a little bit explosive. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be back next year. I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I think he wants to move on and play somewhere else. But, you know, I've said this before, what a great way for him to go out if he was able to help this team win a few games in the postseason. And, you know, I know the Packers' offensive line certainly is getting better. They've kind of settled in after the injury to Tauscher, and they're playing better football. But, you know, Tommy has played well, I think, against Green Bay in the past. And, yeah, he'd be a big key because, I mean, they need someone other than Julius Peppers to be a playmaker on that defensive line. And Israel Adonijé, the other defensive end, has done a really good job of that this year, but they just really haven't gotten a consistent push up the middle at all until Sunday. And absolutely, Tommy Harris could be a big factor in this one if he plays the same way. And if he can anticipate that Aaron Rodgers snap count, you know, he could cause some damage.
All right. Well, those are the questions I had. So thank you for taking the time to talk to me and coming on to my first audio cast on my show. But thank you very much.
No problem, Brandon. Hey, listen, enjoy the game on Sunday, okay?
Yeah, you too.